Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 10, Text 28. Asa Sripso Pura Purya Nabhidwaram Apanataha Satra Apanas Sato Mrityu Pratakvam Upayashrayam Asa Sripso Pura Purya Nabhidwaram Apanataha Tatra Panastato Mrityu Pratakvam Upayashrayam Asa Sripso, desiring to go everywhere. Puraha, in different bodies. Purya, from one body. Nabhidwaram, the navel, or abdominal hole. Apanataha, was manifested. Tatra, thereupon. Apanaha, stopping of the vital force. Tataha, thereafter. Mrityuhu, death. Pratakvam, separately. Upaya, both. Ashrayam, shelter. Thereafter, when he desired to move from one body to another, the navel and the air of departure and death were combinedly created. The navel is the shelter for both, namely death and the separating force. Purport. The pranavayu continues the life, and the apanavayu stops the living force. Both the vibrations are generated from the abdominal hole, the navel. The navel is the joint from one body to the other. Lord Brahma was born of the abdominal hole of Garbhotakshay Vishnu as a separate body, and the same principle is followed even in the birth of any ordinary body. The body of the child develops from the body of the mother, and when the child is separated from the body of the mother, it is separated by cutting the navel joint. And that is the way the Supreme Lord manifested himself as separated many. The living entities are therefore separated parts, and they have no independence. Asa Sripso Pura Purya Nabhidwaram Apanataha Tatra Apanas Tato Mrityu Pratakvam Upayashrayam. The description of universal form is continuing. Asa Sripso Pura Purya. He's desiring to go everywhere. Nitya Sarvagata Stham. The soul is described as all-pervading, not because it's everywhere, not because each of us is everywhere, but because souls are present throughout the creation. And the tendency is that we want to go everywhere. We want to go to Paris, we want to go to New York, we want to go to Bombay. And these desires are not fulfilled in one lifetime. So we travel from one life to the next. Otherwise, when there's no longer any desire to travel in this material world, the yogi can leave this world and go back home, back to Godhead. This is described also in the second canto, how the yogis leave the body at a time of their own choosing. And if they're sufficiently advanced, they have lost all desire for seeing or experiencing anything in this material world. And therefore they leave. They go back home, back to God. But if they still have some desire, then they stop off again. Maybe on the way back to Godhead they become interested in the heavenly planets or in the Siddhaloka or someplace along the way. And then they don't attain perfection. They have to remain in this material world to continue their, or to satisfy their sightseeing propensity. They have to stay. Vāsa-śipso pura-pūrya. We're, to satisfy our desires, we're traveling from one place to another, one body to another. Brahmanda-bhumite. The living entities are described as traveling, wandering throughout the universe. That's our position. Asa-śipso pura-pūrya navidvāna-pāmata. And the place for death and the separating force, Śrīla Prabhupāda says here, or Bhagavatam says, is the navel. Navel is the connecting point. Nabhi dwara. Dwara means gateway. Nabhi dwara pāmata. And there's a mention of the different life airs. Apanavayu, pranavayu. Pranavayu is the vital force. And apana is the downward force, or here it's described as the force, the stopping of the vital force. So when these were manifested, then death was also manifested. Mrityu. Mrityu sarvaharas chaham. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I come as death, and I separate you from everything. I take away everything. Asa-śipso pura-pūrya nāvidvāna pānta tatra pānastato mrityu pratakto ubhayāśaram. So they were all separately manifested. And it seems that death and the separating force are both located in the navel. They both take shelter of the navel. Prabhupada mentions that word Brahma took birth that way, from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and all the human beings take birth that way. Connecting point is there, the navel. Any questions?
About the universal form, where is manifest?
Beginning.
Before Brahma.
In the beginning, the universal form is manifested.
Did this guy in the third temple of Srimad Bhagavatam that some yogis on the way to the spiritual world, they stay for some time on heavenly planets?
Yeah. Question.
You said that the persons which are staying on this planet,
Those who stop off at the heavenly planets have not attained perfection. They've attained the heavenly planets. If you're supposed to go on Sankirtan, then in Germany, and you stop off in Milano, then you haven't gotten to Germany, have you in Milano? Right? So the goal is to go to back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. That's the goal of the yogis. And those who are perfectly accomplished, mature in yoga practice, do that. They leave this world and they go back to the spiritual sky. They attain perfection. But those who are less adept, or those who still have some material desire, become attracted to the heavenly planets. Wait a second, let's not go back to the... Wait a second, this is interesting. Wow. Look at that. And so they stop off for some enjoyment along the way. That means they haven't attained perfection. They're still in the world of birth and death. Even the heavenly Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvartanarjan. Even the planet of Brahma is a place from which one still has to come down again. So the yogis who stop off at the heavenly planets haven't attained perfection. They've become distracted. Now, later they may continue. Okay, seeing that wasn't so interesting after all. And they go back to Godhead. But otherwise, they're preoccupied. They're trapped. They're deviated. Diverted. This is all very vividly described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In part two, when Gop Kumar is traveling to different higher and higher destinations, he's offered facility at different places. So one is the heavenly planets. You can stay here and enjoy. And higher than the heavenly planets, there's the Siddhaloka, where there are mystic perfections. You weren't interested in gardens and girls and all of that, but check this out. You can become lighter than the lightest, heavier than the heaviest. You can create a planet if you want and have all mystic perfections. So the Siddhaloka is another stopping point. Or he travels through the coverings of the universe, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. And each of those layers has a presiding deity. And each of those layers also has like the sum total of material enjoyment that you can get from that element. Whatever you might get from the element earth, you can find in that covering. Whatever you might find from water, and then this previous element also, because it's included within water. So whatever you might find in water, you can find in that element. Earth, water, fire. Finally, you get up to the total material substance called Pradhan. And there, the presiding deity is Mayadevi herself. And she said to Gop Kumar, "Why don't you stay here? The atmosphere is, there's a beautiful blue color everywhere, resembling the color of the Lord." She said, "I'm the younger sister of Vishnu, so whatever you want, you can get from me. If you want liberation, I'll give you liberation. If you want material enjoyment, you can have material enjoyment. Please be merciful and stay." But Gop Kumar was so intent on the lotus feet of the Lord that he declined the invitation. But it's a pretty attractive offer. Hmm? Whatever you want to enjoy, liberation, anything. And the yogis have to be so fixed in Krishna consciousness that they refuse all such offers given by the material energy. Then they can attain perfection. Even the last snare is liberation. Enter the Brahma Jyoti and stay there. Merge with the Lord. One has to go beyond that also. Better not.
Prevented your desire to see different places.
Mm.
So my question is, if we have this desire, should we dovetail this or engage this in Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, you can go on traveling Sankirtan.
Or we should first stop?
You don't have to stop, we don't mind. Go everywhere and distribute books. Like they say in America, join the army and see the world. Everyone in the spiritual world has an eternal relationship. Actually, everyone has, in the material world, we have an eternal relationship with Krishna. But we've forgotten. Every living being has a relationship. Just like a child has a relationship with the father. Sometimes the child forgets, but the relationship is there. The relationship is there between Krishna and the living beings. And the material world is not manifest because we've turned our backs on that relationship. So we're trying to form different substitute relationships, material relationships, which are temporary and unsatisfying. But when one is freed from all bodily designations and fully engaged in the service of the Lord, one can be reinstated in one's eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna. Someone's in the relationship of friends, someone's in the relationship of parents, someone's in the relationship of conjugal lovers, someone's in servitude. But everyone's related to Krishna. Does that answer your question?
Is it that we all have to go inside this planet and this seven coverings and then Padam?
Yeah, but you don't have to stay there. You can just go. You can just go. As long as you're not interested. If you're interested in staying, then you have to spend some time. But if you're not interested, then you can go back to Godhead, piercing through these coverings. Just in a moment. Okay. Yes.
I heard often that Brahma Jyoti, that is not everything in Bhagavad, but in Vita Parahamita, there is life on that Brahma Jyoti also has the 5 years of Vishnu Dhamma.
Presiding deity of Brahma Jyoti is Krishna. Yeah, but not quite. When you really get to the Brahma Jyoti, there's no deity at all. That's the idea of the Brahma Jyoti. There is no individuality. There is no deity. Everything's impersonal. Mahakala means the great controlling deity of time.
we get to subtle regions there. But when you finally go to the Brahmajyoti, there's no deity. That's the idea. No me, no you. No distinction between anything and anything else. That's the Brahmajyoti. Actually, it's Krishna, but realized imperfectly, incompletely. Presiding deity of the Brahmajyoti is Krishna. Brahmanohi Pratishtha. He's the source of the Brahmajyoti. And okay? Brahmajyoti personal? Personified Brahmajyoti is Krishna. Brahmeti paramadneti bhagavaniti. It's the same one absolute truth. But that one absolute truth is realized in three features. For the beginners, he's realized as the impersonal Brahmajyoti. In the medium stage, he's realized as the Paramatma within everyone's heart. And in the advanced stage, he's realized as the personality of Godhead. It's the same absolute truth, but seen from three different angles of vision. Devotees are staying in this material world.
Yeah.
The advanced devotees sometimes come to this material world to help others.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if they are staying there like long time or eternally?
No, eternally. The whole material world doesn't last eternally. You can't stay here and do anything eternally. Even work for the benefit of others, because the place comes and goes. It's not eternal. Doesn't stay. But they're liberated souls just like the Kumaras. They live a long, long time. But no one stays eternally in this place.
Said that our Brahma is pure devotion. His knowledge is better. But it also said that some Brahmas are not pure devotees. From whom then his knowledge is better?
Pure enough. Brahma is a great devotee. He may sometimes be described as pure, sometimes not. But he is competent to give this knowledge. It's altered position. Anything else?
It's about Chaturshloki. When Brahma received this Chaturshloki in the sequence?
Well, I'd have to look carefully and see. It gets very difficult, the time sequences and before creation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's where he got the. Yeah. He wasn't quite sure how to create and not get entangled. So he was instructed by the Lord what to do. So before Brahma created everything, he heard these verses.
But this is before also the Vedas? The Vedas. When did you see the Vedas? What was it at the same time?
He got the Vedas in seed form. Again, sequence is not so easy. Something else? We go till 9, is that? Till 9:30? What's our usual karma?
Actually, no man has been in breakfast until
back. No breakfast, yeah. You got a question?
Yes. I heard from this lecture profile, and he mentioned that you're supposed to worship Krishna meditation, like the farmer, to ask him for Krishna meditation, and not saying, oh, Krishna, I give you all. This is not the one to be a little bit position. How can you relate the basic form? Because you know the basic form is not the
But what is our vision? Deity is Krishna. The question is how we're supposed to worship Krishna in separation, but when the deity is there, how can we worship in separation? But what is our vision? The deity is right there, but we're not seeing it. We're still seeing the statue. We're still thinking this is a statue of Krishna, this is a statue of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're not seeing what pure vision. Are we?
So we have to seek for knowledge and understand better.
Knowledge and devotion. Real thing is devotion. By devotional service, good knowledge we have to some extent. But realized knowledge comes by devotional service. It's by our service attitude that Krishna is manifest, not just by knowledge. Knowledge is also wanted. Knowledge in devotional service.
So when I'm doing arati, should I think Krishna is here or Krishna is not here?
How is Krishna not here? Krishna is here, but my vision is not here.
I
would like to have some. It means we have a deficit in devotion. If we were pure devotees, we would see at every moment. But because our devotion is not sufficient, we're not seeing it perfectly.
But if we see perfectly, then we wouldn't touch perfection.
Even then, there's feelings of separation. The queens, it's described in the 10th canto, the queens were with Krishna, and still they were feeling that Krishna might leave at any moment. They were feeling separation. Even in the presence of Krishna. It's described in the last chapter of 10th canto how the queens were speaking to the moon, they were speaking to the Kurari bird, they were speaking to the different the waves of the ocean that are in. Are you missing Krishna the way that we're missing Krishna? And Krishna was there. He was there in Dwarka. Still they were feeling separation. Something else?
Could you please give some advice how we can study? Sometimes we are just reading.
I don't have good advice for study. The way I study is I edit the book. So I'm a useless person to ask. I don't have a study system. My study system is I edit the book. Somehow or other study. Chanakya Pandit recommends that one study with two. Study with someone else. It's something. When you make war, you should have a lot of people. And for something else, you should have a few people. For study, you should have two. And eat by yourself. During while Vishnu is sleeping?
No, during Brahma.
During Brahma?
During Brahma's night. And all living beings are located in Kharkiv. In this location, some planet?
No, there's no planet. In the time of Brahma's night, everything's destroyed. Bhutva, Bhutva, Kaliyate. Bhagavad Gita. Full one. Not just the verse book, but the whole book. Vyakta Jaktaya Sarva Prabhavantyaharagame Vatriagame Praliyante Tatriva Vyakta Sangyake Bhuta Grama Sevayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate Vatriagame Vishaparta Prabhavantyaharagame. So they're manifest, unmanifest, manifest, unmanifest. I can't hear you.
Which one?
Oh, that's 8th chapter. 18:19. Something else? Comments of what? Ask in Slovenian. Of what? Oh, commentary of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Originally, it's given by Sanatana Goswami himself. He wrote his own commentary on the book. He wrote the book and he wrote the commentary. And then your English commentary is written by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, following the commentary of Sanatana Goswami. Clear? There's an appendix that shows exactly how it takes it from the commentary. You didn't read it. There's an appendix there that shows exactly how the commentary comes. Sanatana Goswami's commentary. Sometimes it's summarized, sometimes it's translated verbatim, word for word. Sometimes a little explanation is added. Different books, they're different ones.
Like in the first part,
No, all three books were done the same way. Same method. All three books. Something else? So today is the appearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Should we save that discussion for the evening?
We can begin.
We can begin. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is our great acharya in our sampradaya. He's reformed the Krishna consciousness movement. Generally, any spiritual movement after some time becomes corrupt, deteriorates. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also said, Sakale Neha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantaka. I spoke this Bhagavad Gita that was coming down in the Parampara system, but over time it became corrupted and lost. Sakale Neha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantaka. So now I'm again reviving. So sometimes Krishna himself comes to re-establish the principles of Krishna consciousness, or sometimes someone comes on his behalf to re-establish those principles. And because things, about anything you start in the material world, the nature of the material world is there to understand. So after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, over time, Krishna consciousness movement was lost, especially at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There were so many sahajas, sahaja prakriti sahaja, right? Devotees who think that they can very easily attain perfection in devotional service, but whose actual realization consists of a mixture of devotional service and material life. They concoct something about devotional service that pollutes the pure devotional service, mixing it with some material conception. So at the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there were many such sahajya sampradayas, parties of mundane cheap devotees. Prabhupada calls them mundane cheaps. Those who take it as a very easy thing. Actually, to get Radha Krishna Prema, one has to follow in the footsteps of the Goswamis, who showed the path of devotional service. And Srila Rupa Goswami quotes Shruti Smriti Puranari Pancharatra Vinindanam Vaikantiki Harir Bhakti Padaya Gopate. And so-called devotional service that doesn't follow the principles of the Shastras is simply a waste of time. Not only a waste of time, a disturbance on the path of devotional service, the deviation and the disturbance. So at the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, these things were going on. And therefore, he wanted to reestablish the principles of devotional service in their pure form. Actually, at his time, the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in disrepute because, especially the mundane sheeps, what are they attracted to? Sex life. Material life finally means sex enjoyment. So these people, prakriti sahajas, particularly that tendency is there to put together the highest thing and the lowest thing. In the spiritual world, the highest thing is the relationship between Radha and Krishna. And in the material world, the lowest thing is the illicit sex life. So they confuse the highest thing with the lowest thing. They indulge in the lowest thing and somehow or other try to pass it off as the highest thing. This is their problem. They take it, this is very good religion. In this religion we can mix with young girls and it's very spiritual. This is the tendency. Cheating. Kaitava Dharma, another kind of cheating. Sometimes we these things happen. Some man tries to cheat a girl. He says, you know, we were together in our past lives. I think we've always been together. We have an eternal relationship. Da 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 da. It just means, you know, he tries to present a very spiritual thing, spiritual narrative. That I know we were together in our last lives, and I know that we're eternal. He's simply after sex. But he constructs this very spiritual narrative just to get the girl. So it's an example that people unscrupulously try to use some spiritual idea and mix it with material motives. And their target finally is just sex enjoyment or enjoyment of the senses. So these things were going on in the time of Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura. And therefore, people were of the impression that this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, it's simply a sex religion. Just like we have the various cults that have appeared in the 20th century also that involve something. There's some cult leader and he's got, you know, 50 female followers, and there's some sort of spiritual teaching that puts it all together and makes it, you know, work. But it's sex, that's all. So, and everybody thinks, or this Osho, same thing. A very spiritual teaching, but spiritual teaching finally is just, you know, cat and dog business. So, and therefore those people are, you know, any respectable person knows that this is what spiritual life, this is what religion is. Is it sex? And he's cheating these people. They're just cats and dogs. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement had gotten a similar reputation. And therefore Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura took on the task of reforming the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and reestablishing it as a not only respectable, but as having the greatest contribution to make. Lord Chaitanya's teachings are the most sublime, but they have to be understood in the parampara system. Not as simply sentiments. It's based on Shastra. It's coming from Shastra. It's not simply sentimental thing. Srila Rupa the Goswami said, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he only wrote 8 verses, empowered the Goswamis and charged the Goswamis with the task of writing so many books to explain the science of Krishna. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is one. Then Ushula Nilmani, Siddhartha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami. So there's so many sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami. It's not that this is simply a sentimental thing for people who feel something in their hearts, but there's philosophy, there's practice, there's standards. It's not simply whimsical. So the Goswamis had to establish that on the basis of the Shastras, Nanan Shastra Vichara and Gripa. So Dharma Samstapa. So it's something definite, particular. It involves following the rules and regulations. There's a process, there's sadhana, and there's a goal, but the goal can be achieved only by following the process, not simply by speculation or by sentiment or by some concocted method. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to reestablish the actual process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he did that in so many ways. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, picked up these teachings from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and tried to spread them through the activities of Gaudiya Math, through publishing, through Sankirtan movement. He's essentially following the teachings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So many songs Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given. We have those songs. And not only songs, but books of commentary also. He's written commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's written commentary on Bhagavad Gita, given commentary. And original writings also, Javadharma and other books. This is in our line to publish, publishing also, he's doing publishing. Actually, his he writes in his biography, but autobiography, that he'd heard about Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he had a hard time getting a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. But gradually, he was able to secure it and find out about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what his actual teachings were, what his actual program was. So he was very active in publishing these books with commentary, as well as songs and simple Bengali language, to make Krishna consciousness accessible. And many different programs. He had to present things also in a particular atmosphere. He lived during the time of the British Raj, the British occupation of India. And the British were busy disparaging the Vedic culture. Not as his sentiment, this is all flimsy stuff. It has no scientific basis, it has no real standing, it's just all superstition and rubbish. That was the British approach. No intelligent person would believe all this stuff. Demigods and people with four heads and this and that and four arms. And you don't believe this, do you? In this way they were trying to disparage, undercut the Vedic culture. And there was a class of people in Bengal, especially Calcutta at the time, the Bhadralok, the sophisticated people, who were being systematically educated in the British schools and train this sort of rationalistic, materialistic, anti-Vedic way of looking at things. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the task of making Krishna consciousness, of presenting Krishna consciousness in a way that would be acceptable to logical, reasonable, philosophical, puffed up British educated Bengalis at the time. Krishna Samhita is one work that objective, and other books also we had to take into account that audience. I was very busy finding out also the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth. Because there was a party that was claiming a section of Navadvipa as being Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace, Prachin Mayapur. still there. And it's still actually still going on in the section who are claiming the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace is across the river in Navadvip. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from his research, found that this wasn't so. As a magistrate, he had access to old maps and other such evidence. And he could understand this doesn't fit, this doesn't tally with the history that we received from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he gradually concluded that the present Mayapur town is the right place. And he discovered that birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw that there was some special place. Even the Muslims were respecting it. And with the confirmation of his Guru Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he found that yes, this is the actual birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he constructed a temple there. It's described that he was personally going around house to house begging to raise funds for that temple. Any questions? Okay, so we can speak some more later. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.